Welcome to Tribe Talk, the bi-monthly podcast by Tribe of Women. I'm Amy Robinson, founder of Tribe of Women. During each episode, I'll be joined by members of my tribe as we hear from guest speakers and powerful women who connect to our mission to establish cultures of women supporting women and recognizing more good men. We will also tell stories of you, our listeners, working in your communities to support your tribes and to answer your questions about how to grow the tribe of women together. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started.
Welcome to Tribe Talk. I'm Lorraine Mosier, your co-host with Tribe of Women founder Amy Robinson. We're broadcasting from the pod at The Artist Evolution. The Artist Evolution is one of our podcast sponsors and a full service marketing group cool enough to have a podcast studio. Oh yeah. They believe in tribes of women and you can find them at theartistevolution.com. Hey Amy.
Hey Lorraine, how are you today?
I am fantastic, and I'm still buzzing about our last podcast with Elise Mitchell. It was longer than usual interview, but I could not find anything to edit out. It was so good.
Oh my goodness. I hear from others that they are going back and going over it to write things down because it's packed with so many good words of wisdom and practical advice.
I know I did. It was so fantastic.
The wisdom of women is such a good thing, but it's not the only thing.
No, it's not the only thing.
We have a wonderful world full of more good men, and as part of Tribe of Women's mission, we want to shine a light on them. We like to say, when we lift up good men, there will be more.
Definitely. And I think there are more good men than not, don't you?
There are, but it's like so many other things in the media and in the world. If it's not controversial and it doesn't sell, then the spotlight isn't on them. And so it gets put on the bad boy. And I think that that's changing, but not fast enough. And you know what we say?
Yes, we have to be the change.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing today. This is our first, but not last, More Good Men episode.
Woo, that's exciting. I'm really excited about this one. And it is good to know that we have a lot of listeners who might have guest suggestions. So wise women or good men, we want suggestions. They can go to our website at Tribe of Women and complete a short podcast survey. We know there's people that you want to hear.
Yes. And that also helps us know if our content and format are working or if there need to be some changes. And we want to know.
We do. Well, we should get started, Amy.
Absolutely, we should. We are reaching out across the world today to India. Abel Joseph is the founder of a popular dating app called Aisle. He's here with us today with his wife and business partner, Jancy, as the most recent founders of a friend-finding app for women, Heal the World, H-E-E-L. And we need to let our listeners know that we are calling to India. And Abel is a busy guy in a busy place. And so his recording next to a busy road. And so we will have a little bit of background noise, but we are so excited to be able to welcome Abel and Jancy.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Jancy, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
So first and foremost, thank you for making time for us so late in your day. I know that it's about 8:30 or so your time, but you tell us that you are working into the wee hours with your new startup. Is that right?
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. So this is very unexpected. In fact, I think probably later on you should tell us how you got to know about the application. But yeah, since we have two applications now, we kind of need to put in those extra hours. So yeah, late nights, weekends, it's all part of the work now.
Wonderful. Well, we'd be happy to tell you how we found you clear across the world. Well, you have been getting some press and some social media, and we came across it. And one of our colleagues, Courtney, she sent us the app and she said, oh my gosh, we could have created this. How important it is for women to find friends and to build relationships in a meaningful way. And so we just reached right out to you. I think she probably saw you on Twitter as well. So we reached out to you. And so we really appreciate you taking the time today.
Well, I completely agree with Courtney. In fact, I think, you know, Hyderabad can be some sort of a worldwide sort of an application, but, you know, for folks sitting in India, it's almost impossible to reach out to the entire planet. But we're going to try our best to reach out at least to women in India. But of course, I think there can be different verticals for every market, be it Europe or the States. And somebody can create something very similar, and I think it would work just about anywhere.
I think you're right. And I do definitely, we want to dive into the culture conversation. I think first, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about the story behind how you developed the app, where the idea came from, and kind of what role you think it's going to play in India and maybe around the world.
Right. So I think it was not, one certain event that led to the advent of Heal the World. I think it was a culmination of a few things. I think for starters, on Isle, the women on Isle, they wanted a feature where they could communicate with other women on the application itself. And we were not completely certain if we should make that a standalone feature on Isle, a close-knit singles community. It's a very vibrant community. We actually handpick all of our users. So you have, artists, filmmakers, and think about all of these subcultures that we have in India. We had women from all of those subcultures because it's a lot harder in a culture like ours to acquire women to join a dating app than it is probably for a Western dating app. And so while thinking about the growth hacks, we thought probably a standalone application for women where they can network would be a great idea. But I think later on that year, we had trouble, with raising funds since dating is not really a business which is looked upon, in a good way in general in the country. And so, during those days where I used to stay back in the office for a long time and then come back home and I would see Jancy just be there waiting for me and there wasn't a lot of communication at the time between the two of us, and even when her friends used to kind of invite her for dinner or shopping or anything like that, she would kind of choose to stay at home because we were both kind of going through a crisis. And I think that's when it kind of clicked that an application where, you could kind of have these on-demand sort of friends, although the terminology that I just used probably sounds a little unhuman. Basically, how do we have on-demand friends, especially for women?
That makes so much sense. And it sounds like this is really being developed from one passion to another and meeting needs that you see around you. What do you see as the most beneficial thing to having women supporting one another in this type of community relationship?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of collaboration that has come in play because of Heal the World. One of the examples that we know of is a close friend of ours who lives towards the other end of the city, where she has a dog, and every time she has to go out of station, she kind of has to figure out what to do with her dog. And so she has two choices. Either she takes the dog along with her or she has to kind of leave him at the kennel. And that's not something that she prefers. And so she met somebody on Heal the World. And in fact, she happened to be a pet lover as well. And now every time she goes out of station, she just pings her and then she leaves the dog with her newfound friend.
Yeah, and we've been reading some of the media, and a lot of the stories are talking about women are moving to the cities more, finding jobs. Culturally, India is changing. Women are being single for longer and finding jobs and doing things independently and differently. And so this is really, it's also filling a cultural change gap for you as well, it seems.
Yeah, well, for sure. In fact, when women move from into the city, so they move away from their families and safety, security, all of this is still a concern in India. And of course, when an application like this comes together, you kind of have a safer place to network with other women. And we actually think that it's kind of filling the gaps that the other social networks have in a place like India. So when you think about Facebook or Twitter, and if you were a woman, or if you were a woman, residing in India, you would have a lot of strangers, random men who would kind of hit you up, asking if you could be friends with them. And so I think to create an exclusive application dedicated for women, it kind of eliminates that possibility.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into your story even about your experience with your wife and JNC, since you're there. Hello.
Hi.
And so, one of the things that we in our organization are really trying to support are the acts of more good men. And to me, even though you said that it was a very inhuman thing to say, it was actually based on a very human story between you and your wife and your observations of some of the challenges. And so, you brought this forward. I'm really interested to hear, Jancy, kind of what is your perspective of your more good man, Abel, there and where this app came from and how you maybe feel like it's been supportive of you in a very personal experience.
Well, so like what he said, I wouldn't agree that there wasn't any communication during the tough time. This was somewhere around the last year. But it was, so the communication was a very different way. Like when he would come back home, there would be dinner. I would ask about work, it's kind of, everyone knows it's bad, but you still want to ask and you want to like help out. So that happened. And when you're in that state of mind, even if your friends come to you and say, okay, let's go for a movie or let's do this, I wasn't in a state of mind to like go for that. And then so one day he just comes up to me and says, I've got an idea. What if you could have an app where you could meet women who are just like you? And I was confused, as always. And he then kind of explained that, imagine if you could actually connect with another person who is a wife of an entrepreneur who is probably going through what you could do. And I thought it was brilliant because though I've been in Bangalore for like, say, 7 to 8 years, there was quite a lot of change in the past 2 years because I, when you're married, a certain set of friends just like go out of your list. So
yes,
they don't want to hang out. They don't want to hang out. It's not that hang out, but it just becomes a little awkward kind.
Yeah.
And everyone eventually gets busy and caught up in their life, and all you end up talking about is work. Mm-hmm. So this way, I was like, there was a time when I used to go online and check for articles where people are talking about how is it, what do you do to support your husband if he has his own venture and stuff like that. And yeah, if there was actually a person who could, help me out and tell you, what, I'm going through the same thing, that would have been, a completely different experience. And so when he first told me the idea, I was pretty thrilled. But at the same time, it was new because I have never like gone out of my way and spoken to somebody who I have never met in my life. So I had like completely mixed ideas about it. But right now I'm so happy because the app, I don't know, there's so many people who have connected with me and they actually talk about, there was this one person who told me about, she's been married for, say, I think 6 years, 6-7 years now. And now she is finally going to do her master's in, I think, Chicago. And that was like so good. Like she got married and then she was a housewife and she left a part of her, she didn't want to pursue it, but then her husband told her that, you shouldn't just give up on what you wanted. You should go for it.
That's great.
And, these are the kind of stories that you really carry forward with you. Don't give up on your dreams. And she's 29:30 or something. And she's featured on our Heal the World page. And she said this is the first time she's going to be away from her family. So she's brought up in at home. Then she got married. She was with her husband, husband's family. And this is the first time she's going to be traveling alone to a new place, studying something new, being with new people.
Wow.
She's excited. Same time scared, but her husband's like really supportive of the whole thing.
That is incredible. And I actually, it seems like a rare thing in a way to have a more good man stand up and go, hey, I care about your social engagement and I'm willing to exactly. actively do something about it. It's like, I got an app for that, honey.
And we won't even talk about men fixing things. This was actually a really good fix. We won't criticize you for that one, Abel. Well, and I think that you're tapping into something, and we talked about the global application, you know, Abel, you're really what you're tapping into, and a lot of the work that we do as well is we're connecting women at the ages and stages of life. And Jancy, what you're saying about, you know, we have these different things that happen in our lives. And it's, you know, when you're going to school, you have your school friends and everybody has that in common. And then when you get married, sometimes you have that in common and friends go different ways. And then when you have kids, you have friends with kids or not with kids. And there are definitely friendships that we can have no matter what age and stage we are in our lives. But also these are kind of the stories and places where we connect and understand each other. And so to bring that into the digital space and give a platform for us to carry that forward is incredible.
And to add to that, Amy, I think that our cultures have also siloed women in a way and made us feel a certain amount of guilt or something if we even want to go out and socialize in certain ways.
But yeah, so those were, I think, some of the things that kind of convinced us that there are other people who are just like, you know, Jancy or just about anybody. I mean, even if it's somebody who's a little depressed out there, probably they can find some new light if they had a conversation with somebody who's completely new and unjudgmental, has no history about you. So it's kind of therapeutic as well if you're going through a bad period to talk to a complete stranger and talk about the things that you like and enjoy.
That's great. And the users of this app are going to the app for seeking the same thing. So it is that safe environment and not a no judgment zone, because that's, you know, you're seeking that together. Well, I think, Jancy, you know the value of women friends. And do you think that it's actually expanded, or do you have a deeper understanding of having a tribe of women and having women friends in your life?
Oh, definitely. So I have three sisters. We are all sisters in the family. And I've grown up with this, with women in my life. They've always been the one who I look up at. Or so when every stage of my life, there's always been more women in my life than men. And these women have always, been like for anything, even it could be as minute as, I want something to wear for a special day. I'd go to my sister. If I have a really bad day, I'd go get, go binge on ice cream with my friend. So it is very important for a woman to have a tribe. And the thing about a woman is it's not always that one friend. She has these many friends. So there would be this one person who she can really take comfort, who she can listen to the advice to. And then there's this one person who might be her shopping person and, you know, has a great sense of fashion, but maybe not so much of a listener.
Yeah.
But then she has this one person who she can take to all these gigs and go for a movie. I mean, you know, that's the kind of tribe you need. You need vibrance, you need color, you need fun. You need, those are the elements that's within her that reflects in her tribe.
That is so right. And yeah, Abel, I would love to hear your perspective as well on women having friends and having a tribe, because I think a lot of men might even feel threatened or worried that maybe they're that their woman's attention or their partner's attention wouldn't be so much on them and feel threatened by that. But you nurture Jancy's opportunity to have this social network. And I think that's rare. Can you give us some perspective on that?
Yes, so in fact, I mean, where I come from, you know, growing up, you know, my father, he has four sisters, and so when you talk about how, you know, our culture is, the women would wake up early in the morning and they would start collaborating on the tasks they have. And so I've seen how things can be, you know, well organized and you know, get the job done if women kind of do things together. And so me, I'm a little bit of an introvert. I try and stay at office or home. I don't really enjoy going out as much as, you know, in my teens. But I've always kind of been pushy about, you know, Jancy to kind of meet her friends more often than she does now. So she's a little bit of a social person, unlike me, and she has to maintain those relationships. So it's better to kind of do that in person than do it online virtually. I think there hasn't been a week or a month where I haven't actually asked her, hey, what's up with X or Y, and when are you going to meet her next? And you know, every time she goes out and meets some of her lady friends, she comes back in a better mood, and that's always better for me as well.
Absolutely, yes.
That kind of brings a lot of joy into the life, and there would be better food, you know, better everything.
Definitely. Put all that energy into cooking. Yes.
There's that ripple effect that comes in once women kind of get together. In fact, we kind of trying to create this short little ad film, and so the girls who work with us, they were kind of coming up with a script for it. And one of the lines in it, it goes like, if she does better, everyone does better.
Yes.
And that's true. You know, that's true in a work environment like us, like ours. It's completely true in a family setting. I think it's very important for all women to have their set of friends, the tribe.
I think the other question, and this is, I know that this might run into cultural, but ultimately, and through Tribe of Women, one of our goals is gender equity and gender equality. And it seems that the whole world is much more aware of that. And what changes in roles in relationships do you see on the horizon, or maybe what do you hope to change on the road to gender equity through the work that you're doing?
So I think you know, when you talk about the Eastern culture, especially India, it's kind of looked upon as a very patriarchal sort of a society, and I think in its early days, when you look at a family, you know, you had your business, which was your farm, right? And so when a couple lives together, probably the man comes out and does the heavy duty work of chopping woods. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of perceived to be the CEO. And of course the woman would kind of, you know, help with the other things, which would be the, you know, milking of the cows and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And that's just,
yeah, exactly. So I think it's just a unique situation that we have here in India, and of course all the other third world countries as well. And so that's slowly changing, slowly but surely. And at least at Isle and at Heal the World now, you know, everybody sits on the same chairs. We all sit together, we work together, everybody has a voice, you know, and that's kind of the same case with just about every other startup that has come up in the recent past. But of course, corporates have their own set of guidelines that they need to follow. I think well and truly India is on the way to that path of equality and equity for women. It's most definitely there in more cities than probably a few years ago. When you talk about cities like Bangalore, Delhi, Mumbai, you would see that women are just as free as the men. I mean, if you go out in the nights, if you went into a fancy club, the ratio would be maybe 60-40, 40% being women. But I think it would be a 50-50 not too far from now, probably about 2018, 2019, with all the winds of change, the social media and all the content that's been created by Bollywood and everything is in the direction of encouraging equality for women. Just today on the radio, the commissioner, the police commissioner of our city, he has started a campaign where we have these pink hoistlers, which is basically the scouting cars in the night, or the police cars in the night, which are dedicated for women by women. And that's specially dedicated in places which has a concentration of women who work late nights. So we have a lot of women work in call centers. So some of the people who you might be speaking with when you call Capital One or any other JP Morgan Chase or some of those, so those brands, they've outsourced some of the work to India. So those women would actually have to work in shifts where it would be nighttime here, but it's day there. It's kind of important for us to kind of ensure their safety. But I think the challenge with India is that we have the educated class, but at the same time, we also have the class where they aren't completely aware or literate. So we kind of have to bring them up to pace and make them understand the importance of women and the equality, etc.
I mean, that definitely sounds like progress, and it sounds like the work that you're doing is really important in moving the needle that direction. What are some of the ways that men can help support women like you have to move things into a more equitable position?
Yeah, well, for starters, I think, when it comes to passion, we need to understand that it's not just the men who have that, it's also the women.
Amen to that. Yes.
Yeah. But I think we're a little slow to realize that. It's mostly because of the sort of conditioning that we've had for centuries. But I think once the realization does come through, and the realization comes through by we actually witnessing women doing the things that men do. In fact, everything from going to war to inventing something. Just if you talk about the pinnacle of innovation, like how you have NASA, we have ISRO, and some of the rockets and the satellites that are built. I've read that some of the most important engineering in it has been done by Indian women. And so that's kind of inspiring. And the more we read about stories and cases like that, we're more convinced that, we can do better if the women do better. And so, yeah, I think that's the one thing that I think we as men should understand, that if women have a passion and if they pursue it, they might just do it a lot better than we can. So,
and I think maybe even historically, and now we're hearing more and more that women have been collaborating along the sidelines. They just haven't really been highlighted or given proper credit. So it's nice to see that things are coming out, that women are getting more credit for the development of new inventions and progress. And so it's neat to see those things.
Yes, and, sure. And that is not India only or no. India specific. That
we're
is
making
around
movies
the world.
About it.
Yeah, exactly.
True, very true. In fact, in my family, when my grandmother used to be around, she was the one in the family who used to wear the pants. So my grandfather, he was the introvert who would sit back and kind of enjoy his wife on the show. But you have these examples in just about every neighborhood, and it's just that back in the days, those examples were kind of not broadcasted. But today, be trying to broadcast that. So even if you talk, you know, go into our Facebook page, which is, you know, facebook.com/healtheworld, we're trying to highlight what women have been doing. And these are ordinary women who have done extraordinary things. And I think the more noise we make, the faster the things that we're striving for would come in play. You know, I'm talking about equality and empowerment and everything.
So, Abel, what would you tell other men about the benefit of being a supportive collaborator with your partner?
Well, I just think it brings a lot more peace and joy into the family. I think if Chansey wasn't doing you know, what she is doing today, you know, so she's basically holding down one entire department, and each one of us at Isle/Heal the World is in charge of one complete department. So Chansey, Nisha, Soumya, so these are the three women on our team. And, you know, I don't think we could have done it the same way that they did. Yeah. Everything from design. So it's important to have the idea, but the validation came from the women in our team. So Jancy and I, you know, I think for the longest time, for probably a month or so, the only things that I would ask her was, is this color okay for this screen? And she was very critical about a few things, because of which I think our app is a lot more user-friendly than what it was, you know, initially planned to be. So yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing. If they can be given a voice, the perspective that they share is completely different, and I think it's for the good.
Well, my Hindi is a little bit rusty. But one of my favorite words to say in my travels was Shukriya. And so thank you. Thank you so much to both of you. And let us know how people can get in touch with you and find your app, and what kind of, what do you want them to, where do you want them to find you, and what do you want people to know?
Sure. I think we at the moment live in India. And the website is healtheworld.co.
And
exactly. So we've intentionally, manipulated the spelling to be H-E-E-L, which we think is symbolic for what we stand for. So that's the website. And on the website, you would find links to the App Store as well as the Google Play Store. And that's where we are. But of course, I mean, this is an invitation to every woman in India, not just Indian women, but also expats. Mm-hmm. We feel expats can also find value in this. So this is an invitation for everybody who is in India. And of course, if we have the bandwidth, if we have the confidence to kind of take it abroad, we will. But yeah, this is where we are today.
Well, we definitely support the application, and we think it definitely has worldwide application. So I hope that it does. I hope you find a way to do that. And one of the things that we do with all of our guests, and this question is for you, Abel, because this is our More Good Men segment, is we'd like to close with the question, why do you believe in tribes of women?
Well, I actually, you know, sat through the TED talk that you had, and I think you know it's kind of important for somebody to take the initiative and bring about the awareness that hey, women can do a lot more than what they are doing today if they are given the voice and the recognition. So I think, you know, after going through some of the things that was there on the website, and the things that you spoke about, and the conversation that we've had for the past few minutes, it's very evident that you know, you can bring about a lot of change. And anything, when you talk about change, you know, it's always good. And I think it's going to like trickle down. So if and the impression that I got was, you know, just the fact that, you reached out to somebody on the other side of the world who is as, you know, so we consider ourselves to be a super small startup. And just to take your time out to have a conversation with us, it kind of came as a surprise and a shock. But you know, that kind of shows the humility and all that, which is super impressive. And I think more power to you to do more. You know, and it'll only bring more good to not just the women, but also people like us, the men. It helps us to understand where we stand and what we need to do as well.
Well, Abel and Jency, thank you so much, and keep doing the good work that you're doing and supporting one another and valuing one another. I think it sends a great message that will reverberate far beyond you.
Yes, deep shukriya. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Wow, Amy, that was really intriguing and innovative. It's amazing how supportive he is of Jency and the work that they're doing.
It really is. And, you know, reaching out beyond our boundaries culturally and globally, our geographic boundaries, is really important. And so I appreciate that he appreciated that about us. It was also a continuance of the affirmations that I experienced when I traveled. And that we're all the same and we want the same things. And gender equity is one of those.
I'm happy that there's more good men worldwide working alongside us.
Amen. Well, before we get to another good man in the world and our tribe stories segment, we need to thank some other good people in our world.
Yes, our sponsors.
In-House Metalworks and Elevate Performance Group are both declaring that they believe in tribes of women with not only their monetary support, but their products and services. In-House Metalworks makes pretty things, including some signage for us that you may see pop up in our social media coverage of our Tribe Talk events. And Elevate Performance Group is helping us perform at our best with their peer advisory forums and consulting. They can be found at inhousemetalworks.com and elevateperformance.us.
We love good people that believe in tribes of women and believe in us.
We do.
We now have a way to bring more good people to the tribe table to help support this podcast.
Do tell.
Happily, Patreon is a podcaster's dream. Our listeners may already be familiar, since many podcasts use this as a way for people to support their favorite podcasts. We hope that we're one of your favorites, and we invite you to vote with your dollars and help us to meet our goals by going to our website, tribeofwomen.com, and clicking on the tab that says podcasts. There you'll find a button that says become a patron. It's that easy. Give a dollar, give $5, give whatever you can, because every little bit helps to support and keep the Tribe Talk podcast going.
We love easy, and we are going.
Yes, we are.
And speaking of going, we are really going places today. First, India, and now we're heading to the West Coast and sunny California.
Yes, this is my home state, actually, and where I met our next Tribe Stories guest, Steve Cifelli, who became a friend and a mentor over the years.
Oh, yes. And your suggestion made for a rich tribe story and for our first More Good Men-focused episode.
Oh, I know. Our guest is one of our More Good Men. Steve Cifelli is currently Core Clinical Professor at the University of Redlands in Southern California. Steve is a veteran and not only served this country well, but shows his love for humanity every day in giving of his resources and time for the betterment of others through his connections with Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Circle of Love. The reason that we have asked Steve to share his tribe story with us today is because we're aware that historically he's been a supporter of women's rights. In fact, he was counted among one of the only men in the room on several occasions, including one that we're asking him to share about today as he walked in the women's marches in the 60s.
Steve, we are anxiously anticipating your perspective on that one. And I'm so glad to have you here as a feminist, or I guess you could even say a feminist. Is that a thing?
It could be.
We're going to make it a thing. So tell us what it was like when you were involved in the early marches.
When I came back from Vietnam, I had learned so much about politics and what was happening. And while up in Berkeley, I was accidentally kind of into a march, and I watched a woman that was 8 months pregnant be punched in the stomach by a baton. And I quickly grabbed her, dragged her through the tear gas into a bookstore on Telegraph Avenue till we get some medics to help her, and she was fine. And that just kind of bothered me because I didn't think there was any necessity for that at that time. So when I enrolled in college, I ended up taking a women's studies course as an elective, and I was the only man in the course. And I got blamed for everything from the war in Bosnia to you name it. But I loved the course, and I loved the women in there because I learned so much. And I guess from that time on, I ended up being a faculty advisor to women's groups, to LGBT, you name it, any one of those causes. I felt that some of the people I had met were very disenfranchised.
Well, Steve, tell me about how that early experience has kind of manifested over the years, and from what was not right to you on that day to learning and growing and where we are today.
Well, I have to admit, probably, and not proud, that I was probably taking a lot of things for granted all the way through school, high school, until I went in the military. And when I was 18 years old in Vietnam and being shot at, I said, you know, this isn't kind of what I want. And I started to have a very profound appreciation of life. And I made a promise to the young men over there, the other Marines who didn't make it back, who never got the chance to be home, who were killed at 18, 19 years old. I wanted to do something kind of in their honor because they never got a chance to live. So that's why I got involved in charities and things like that. But what I found out in college was such a disproportionate feeling toward women with guys. And let me back that up just a little bit. When I was in college, the veterans, we could not have a fraternity. College president didn't want us to have that. So we were invited to different fraternities. We went to one which was more the athletes. And this is one of the reasons I went into the women's studies course, is in this party one night, they invited a lot of women, probably I would say 20 women, but they were all ones that these, I can't say gentlemen, young men would not date. They were, to them, unattractive. While my friends, the other veterans, and I were at this party, I overheard in the kitchen that it was going to be a pig roast party. I thought, and so did my friends, the other vets, thought it was going to be Hawaiian theme. What we found out is these athletes, these football players, were going to vote on who would be awarded an apple, like you would for a pig roast, to one of the women. We overheard that. We quickly got the women out of there. And some of these women were most awesome people, nursing students and everything, but they may not have been the most attractive to these guys. So we took them all out of there and actually took them to a Norm's restaurant. And my 8 friends and I, the other vets, took them to dinner, and we told them what was going on. And sadly, they weren't surprised. They said, we get treated like that all the time. And that's when I found out about the women's studies course, and they encouraged me to take it. And I said, I will do that. And I learned so much. And, you know, being the oldest son, having a sister, I learned a lot about things. You know, my sister was 10 years younger. Some of the things she went through that she told me. So probably that was a big turning point for me.
That was a story of from you in college. And, you know, I think that some of the things that people, those are the stories that people don't want to know about. They don't want to know that they really happen, but then they happen to people. And especially in media today, we are discovering that these things happen, and people are shocked and surprised and horrified by it, frankly. You know, the sexual harassment and disrespect and some of those things that occur, at the same time, it's been going on for a long time. So obviously you educated yourself to help address that. If you were to give advice to men and in how they could be more good men, what would the path that you would suggest to them be?
When I go speak at high schools and things like that, I am tougher on the guys. Really tough on the young men in there about the way they treat girls and especially juniors and seniors on their escapades, I guess. And I probably hold them more accountable for their actions and telling them, you know, if this was your mom, your sister, how would you want them treated? And when I turn it and make it personal, then all of a sudden their attitude changes. I'll give you an example. One young man who's berating this young girl because she was not slender. And I said, so, is your mom or your sister slender? And he said, no. I said, what if somebody told your mom and your sister just what you told that young girl? What would you do? He said, well, I'd beat him up. I said, then what gives you the right to tell this young lady that? And he was doing more body shaming, I guess is what you'd call it. Turning it around to make it personal made him reflect on, oh, okay, I can't do that. That's not right. It wouldn't be right in my family, so not right here. And it's hard because I'm seeing some things that are cultural that way, too.
And do you also see where young men can kind of hold each other accountable in that way?
Yes.
Do you recommend that they say those things to each other and say, hey, man, this is not cool. Don't do that. And that's
yeah, and the peer pressure.
Hard. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the peer pressure is tough. And what we did this year, kind of doing a little bit of a study with my graduate students, is we're looking at the media. And what we're finding is the media pinpoints things that make us so different and why we're not alike. And the divisiveness between us, whether it's men and women or culture or whatever, rather than showing the things that we all have in common. We want to be loved, we want to be respected, we want to belong. And I find that sometimes in some of the media and the news, it does just the opposite. And I always remember the old saying, divide and conquer, when I see that. And it pits one male against female, cultures against culture. And I think that's so sad rather than the sameness that we have together as human beings. And so I bring that up in my graduate classes. And because they're out there, they're in the field, they're doing their field work hours, and they're the ones that are seeing these students on a daily basis. And I want them to address that. I call it the Kardashian impact. And I see that. And I even do groups of girls, and they look at me and I go, look, I'm a dad, I'm a granddad, and you know, this is what I'd like for my granddaughters and things. And so we start talking about it, but it's the peer pressure on them, too.
It is.
Peer pressure is just unbelievable.
It is. And it's external influences that turn into our internal dialogue.
Those are kids. But in an airport coming back from Australia, I saw a man who just berated this female ticket agent. Nicely dressed, you know, Virgin Airlines, nicely dressed. Our plane was delayed. Wouldn't take off because of mechanical failure. And you don't want to fly in a plane that way. So this guy in his three-piece suit gets over there and berates this woman. He's like 6'4". She's probably maybe 5 foot. Berating her about, I need to get on that plane. I need to do this, do that. And then he said, he looked at her and he goes, I want to go on the plane. She says, you can't, sir. It hasn't been certified for flying. And he goes, do you know who I am? She stopped doing what she's doing. She picked up the microphone at the airport. She says, can we have some help over here? Gate 8, there's a gentleman here that doesn't know who he is. And I thought it was hilarious. That lady, I looked at her and I just smiled and went, wow. Put that, he was a guy that was, I would say, alpha male, very dominant, and just was berating this woman. And she just, I loved it. I thought it was
great. Way to handle it. Definitely.
She did perfect. She did beautifully. But, you know, and, you know, me, I just, I don't know. There's an equality that I still don't think we have.
Well, we're working towards it. And with people like you partnered with us, then we can sure get a lot farther, a lot faster. Hey, Steve, thank you so much again just for your commentary today. And there's a good chance that Amy and I might be making a trip out to Southern California. Maybe we're thinking summer, maybe end of summer. And if we'll look you up and maybe we could get
and you want to go to and you want to go to Disneyland and you want to go to Club 33. Okay?
Disneyland without our kids. Yes, that would be fantastic.
Yes, well, I'll get you up in Club 33.
You definitely want to keep in touch with your work and the core clinical work that you're doing. And I love that you're touching these kids at a very crucial age. So hopefully getting to them before it goes too far.
Do you believe in Tribes of Women? Join the movement in our newsletter at tribeofwomen.com and be the first to learn about upcoming podcast guests, product releases, events, and giveaways. Find, subscribe, and rate the Tribe Talk podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and other major platforms, and share it with your tribe. Then follow us for inspiration, information, events, and more on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram using @tribeofwomen. This is Tribe of Women.
Lorraine Mosier,
Courtney Lawless,
Laurie Marshall,
and Amy Robinson. Thanks for listening.